Welcome, everybody. Great to have you today. Thanks for being on the podcast. Hello, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm very well.
I'm glad to hear that. Yep.
Good.
Yep. Feeling healthy?
Oh, so healthy.
Get healthy if you're not.
I'm getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
That's right.
No. 1 week at a time.
That's right. Week two this week of Get Healthy and diving into some good stuff there. So, no, good weekend all the way around. A little chilly and rainy.
Yes, cold and rainy this weekend. Yeah.
Did not see that one coming. And
no.
I think you made the joke in one of the services about, you know, spring here 1 minute and gone the next, and winter just won't let go.
Yep. I did it much better than that, but it was actually funny when I did it.
I don't know what you said. And that was kind of hurtful. And
let's just take a minute to dissect this conversation about how unhealthy it just was.
I thought you were going to retell it.
I wasn't going to retell it. I was just
took the life out of it there.
All right.
It's more of a Norm MacDonald kind of version of it.
I'm not telling it now.
I don't.
Yep.
Okay, so what happens next?
I don't know.
We just sit in silence.
I don't know what to say now. For so fear of ridicule.
Get healthy week two. Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt, take it away.
We need to get healthy now, don't we?
My Lord.
He's my Lord.
No, it was good. It was, for me, it was, I found myself, you were talking throughout the day about it, just this idea of our thoughts and where we put our thoughts. And you kept bringing me back in. It's like, oh, yeah, that's me. Oh, yeah, that's me. And so I think it's something we needed to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yep, yep. Yep. All right, y'all. Well, that's
that
it
good.
For today.
Our thoughts are...
We have a listener question. This will save the day right here. It was cool talking about it, and it's really something people have to deal with. We have this mental life that's a real thing for us. We think about our physical life and where we go during the day and different rooms we're in, the different environments and people that we're with, and all that's a big part of our lives. But we have this going on in here all the time, all the time. Even when we're asleep, our mind's working. So this is spinning just all the time. I never have a moment when I'm just there, you know. Mm-hmm. It's always just something going on there. Mm-hmm. And it's a real part of our lives, and we have to learn how to get healthy in our head. You know, so we talked about one of the things I mentioned was not taking on problems that aren't yours. You know, we're talking about me getting in the rabbit hole of videos about an event that happened at a church, you know, out west, and just letting that dominate my mind for a few hours this week, you know, and being distracted. A listener wrote in and said this, thanked us for the message this weekend. They were watching online and said, I do have a follow-up question. Many times my distracting thoughts have to do with my business or my kids or things that do directly affect me. Mm-hmm. How does one focus on solving the problems in the everyday without letting the problem become the thing that I'm ruminating on? It's easy to say, don't get distracted by problems over there that have to do with people you don't know, but it's harder with problems that actually are my business.
Sure.
It's a good question.
Yeah, great. That's question. Really
good. What do you think, guys?
One thing I would think about is what in that situation is my responsibility to control, and what is my responsibility to coach or to guide in that? Is it something that it's directly my responsibility to solve that problem? Like, I think about my kids, right? My kids got an issue going on in school. What is my role in that? Is my role to jump in there and actually solve that problem for them? Or are they at a place right now where I need to kind of help guide them in that? So I think it is kind of evaluating that situation and determining what is it that is exactly my role in this situation. It's the first thought I would think.
We tend to ruminate about our kids, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Ruminating to me, I've never actually looked up the definition, but it seems to me to be just rolling around in your mind again and again and again in these cycles of non-productive thinking.
Sure.
That's how it feels to me.
Sure.
You do have to spend some time thinking about your business and about your children. That's going to be something that rolls around in your mind. I think the question becomes, is this line of thought productive? Mm-hmm. Is it taking me toward a solution? Is it actually helping me find an action step of something I can do? Or is this just a spiral downward? You know, are you imagining negative scenarios, things that might happen to your kids or in your business? Are you just rolling those over and then get over again and just going down that rabbit hole? I've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even think about it, and maybe I'm mishearing the question, but I almost see, you know, you're at work and you're supposed to be focusing on doing whatever it is you're supposed to be doing. But over here you've got, but my kid's in this thing and they're doing this or whatever that thing is. So maybe the question a little deeper there is, how do I focus on what I'm supposed to be doing here and not let all of that negative, even if it's not negative, but just like,
part of that question,
like just totally distract me from still achieving what God has me doing today?
Good question. I'm drawn to the scripture that says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, our ultimate mission in life is to obey Jesus and serve Him. And I have to ask myself, how can I capture these thoughts and make them serve Jesus well? You know, how can I take that? I've said before many times, when a thought pops into your mind, you've got to quickly evaluate what that is and where it came from, and decide if that's something you want to keep in your mind, or decide if that's something you want to move on from.
Yeah, I loved your quote, Martin Luther's quote, about, I'll butcher it, but a bird can fly by.
Seems to be the pattern here today, so give it a shot.
A bird can fly overhead, but you don't have to let it set a nest up in your hair kind of thing. Yeah. That's not what he said, but it's much more poetic than that. But
yeah. Good try.
At least you got a good try.
Good try.
I mean, a swing and a miss. How do you guys?
There's a bird flying by right now.
There's just a bird flying by. Just don't build a nest in your hair. Yeah, that was the quote. Let me just solve this for us here. Martin Luther said, "I can't stop birds flying over my head. I can stop them from building a nest in my hair." And a good friend of ours, Don, one of our deacons, came to me yesterday and said, I can't relate to that or understand that quote at all. Because Don does not have hair.
Yeah, so. True. That's helpful in this instance.
But those things do tend to come along. Those things jump in your mind. And it's like you probably hit the nail on the head with the real heart of the question. I hope you did anyway. How can I stay at work and be present there? How can I stay with my kids and be present? The term out there a lot is mindfulness. You hear about that a lot, mindfulness. And it may mean many things to many people, but what that means to me, and I said this in one or more of the services yesterday, it's your body and your mind actually being in the same place and focused on the same things, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's a struggle for all of us. Mm-hmm. Underlying it all, I think there's just the intentionality we have to have with our thought life. That when thoughts come in, intrusive thoughts that are not productive, that are not for this moment, that I have a little conversation with myself in my head and say, we're not going there. I talked to a counselor once, and she's fantastic. And she said to me, she said, you only have, I think it was 5 seconds. It was somewhere between 5 and 10 seconds, less than 10 seconds, I'm sure. You only have 5 seconds to correct this when it starts, to deal with those intrusive thoughts, or you get on a cycle that's harder to break. It's easiest within the first few seconds of that thought to say, no, it's not the time for this right now, and stay on what you're called to do in that moment.
That's because, I mean, you even think about that. You let the first question gets in, or the first thought gets in, and if you don't get rid of it, it's going to lead you to another thought and another question, another thought, and that's that cycle. I feel like it just builds upon itself. And then you're invested in, well, I got to figure this out.
Those social media reels are genius because they operate the exact same way. You know what I mean? You watch one, and then you got to watch the next one, and they may not even be related, but they take you down this hole. Have you ever scrolled the reels in something, and you're just like, look up at the clock and like, what have
it's
I
tomorrow.
Done? What am I doing with my life right now? They're funny. Some of them are instructive. Some of them have good stuff on them. You know, even if you're looking at stuff that's not directly destructive to your life and your testimony, you know, they can just waste your time, and thoughts can come in like that. And
I'll use that as an excuse sometimes. Be like, oh, this is helpful. You know, it'll be some random guy doing woodwork. I'm never going to use that in my life.
Exactly. It's just satisfying to watch him do some work.
You're doing a great job, buddy.
While you're on the couch to see someone do some work. Is
shoving popcorn in my face. Yeah.
Wow, this was great. Yeah.
I prefer Cheetos, but okay. Cheetos,
yeah, exactly.
Thoughts are very much like that. How do you deal with worries about your kids? Because you get in those worrisome thoughts. What do you do? What do you guys do with those?
Worry.
You just worry.
Let's be honest about it for a minute.
What should you do, I guess, is a better question.
Not worry.
Okay. This man's so helpful. We're really adding some value to people today. Just don't do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that's been really big for me over the last, really over the last couple of months is this idea, I think I've said it before, but this idea of control. I like to live in this false sense of reality that I get to control a lot more than what I actually do. And so the worry is me compensating for the fact of that I don't get to control everything. And so it's really coming to terms with, okay, what is within my control? And the things that are not within my control is really where I'm trying to focus in and trying to really, as cliche as it sounds, trying to trust God at those times. And so that is a lot more difficult than probably where I thought I would be at this point in time in my life. But it really is about recognizing I'm not in control of this. And, okay, realizing that, recognizing that, wrestling with that, and then trying to trust God in the middle of that.
I read a really good book. It's called Getting Things Done, mm-hmm. and it's just a book on productivity, how to get things done in your life. And one of the – I wish I had it in front of me. There's a flow chart, actually, to work through in getting things done. And one of the things that he has is just when you pick up a piece of paper, you have to look at it and make decisions about it right then. And the decisions are, do I delegate this to somebody that needs to do it mm-hmm. other than me? Do I act on it right now? He's got a rule of, if it takes just X amount of time, go ahead and do it right now. Or do I put it over here in a file to do later and to get? And so your thoughts are like that too. I think when they pop up, you have to decide a few things. You have to decide, is this thought leading me to some next step that I actually need to take to help with this problem? And if so, let's figure out what that next step is and let's get that next step down. Instead of just churning all the time at what could be and what might go wrong, think in terms of what's the next action that I can take to actually improve this situation. If I'm worried about my children, is there something God's saying to me in that moment? Is there something I need to just write down, put on a task list somewhere that says, I'm going to try this next, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this next? Or is this just a hopeless cycle of worry that's leading nowhere? If that's the case, you just got to get off that merry-go-round. And you got to get off that cycle, and you got to fill your mind with something else. You really do. That was critical to me in this message, was the idea of replacing anxious thoughts with something else.
Right.
I don't think there's any other substitute for that than actually saturating your mind so much with the Word of God that there's no room for the negative of the enemy to come in. That in every situation, think about, what does the Word of God say to this? What would God say? What is the truth in this situation instead of the lies I've been told?
That's good.
Yeah. And I love that you pointed to that verse to fix our thoughts on whatever is good, you know, whatever is pure, whatever is true. Because I think it is, and you said it as well this weekend, like we naturally think about the negative. And so I think it could even be as simple as, is this negative or is this one of the other? Like if it's negative, you already know it doesn't line up with those other things.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you may need to think about it in some capacity, but maybe it's a reframing of it.
Certainly. There's always an occasion to think of some potential problem in your business or some potential danger with your kids, or you see them straying or off the path and you want to get them back on. Sure, it doesn't mean that you can't consider a problem, but it just means consider the truth about it, consider the positive side of it, what God is doing in it, consider how you can help that situation and move it forward, not get into the woe is me, the sky is falling.
Yeah,
I say that as a person who can get there really quickly. I say that as a person who has experience with that. Just get down and down and think, yeah, we're going nowhere. The sky's falling. Yeah, I've done that.
You pointed back to Jesus washing the disciples' feet as kind of an example of, hey, Jesus could have easily gotten caught up in everything that was going on in that moment, but focusing in on John chapter 13, verse 3 right there, really began to point out in the fact of that what Jesus was thinking about in those moments. He was thinking about who he was and you know what he had been called to do. How can we do that. When we, it's, it'd be easy for us to get caught up in our own junk that's going on. How can we take that and kind of relay that into our own lives about where we need to keep our attention and our focus?
Well, there are two specific things Jesus was thinking about in John 13. And this verse has always intrigued me, but it became really clear to me in studying for this that Jesus faced the cross with the right things on his mind. Mm-hmm. He washed the disciples' feet, even Judas, who was about to betray him, even Peter, who was about to deny him that night. He washed their feet in that moment, and he maintained his mission in spite of others' betrayal, you know. And so the Bible says he thought about these things. It said Jesus, knowing that God had given him all authority, mm-hmm. and that he had come from God and would return to God again, knowing that, he washed the disciples' feet. There's something so powerful about that, that he knew everything belonged to him, all authority was his, that none of this was happening to him, that he was giving himself to walk through this storm and giving his life. So he had all authority. He didn't lose any of it. And then he realized he would come from the Father on his mission, and after it was done, he was going back to the Father again, that his destiny could not be shaken by any of these storms, that his authority couldn't be taken away from any of these storms. The truth is, both of those things are also true for us. Mm. That Jesus said at one point, he said, all authority has been given me, now I give you authority to go out. So we have all kinds of authority in Jesus Christ over our storms. Yep. We're not the victims of them, we're victors over them as we walk through them. We may feel like victims at times, but we've always got to have the mindset of a victor, that I have authority over this and I'm walking through this in obedience to God. And then the ultimate idea is God brought us here and put us on this earth. And as Christians, when all this is over, we're going to go back to him. And ultimately, that's where we're going to spend eternity. Yeah. And if I keep my mind on those same two things, I can be unshakable just like Jesus was.
Mm. I love that. It's really good. You also gave us a challenge, some action steps coming out of this message. One of them was to get in God's Word, right?
Yep.
Filling our minds, filling our heart with God's Word, mm-hmm. Morning and night. So it wasn't, first thing you get up in the morning, put God's Word in your heart, and then before you go to bed at night, before you go to rest, do that as well. Mm-hmm. But then you also challenged us to come up with a gratitude list. Mm-hmm. What role does gratitude play in helping us to keep our mind focused on the right things?
Gratitude is one of the most healthy practices you can have in your life. It truly is. I've been around a while and I've seen a lot. And I find that I tend to get bitter and off course when I lose my gratitude. Mm-hmm. When I stop thanking God for everything that he's given me, I tend to get whiny and complaining and introspective in a negative way. But when I'm truly thankful to God for what I have, we just live in a culture, I think, now that's driven by what I don't have,
mm-hmm.
you know,
sure.
over and over again, what I don't have. And I was convicted of this during Matthew's message just a couple weeks ago, so that helped give rise to this thought. And I was really convicted. I can't remember even what he said, but just something in my heart said, you're not practicing gratitude as you could. So I've made a list, and Alexa and I have talked together about doing this, about God, thank you for what we have. Thank you for our home, for the possessions you've given us that make our lives much more comfortable than tons of people around the world. Mm-hmm. Thank you for our family, our children. Thank you for this church that we get to lead. Thank you for the family we have and you guys, our staff. Just thanks for just all God has given us. And that keeps us in a humble position before God. Gratitude's actually worship. Mm. It really is. And if we practice that, it will start our thoughts in the right direction in the morning. I think mornings are absolutely critical. I think we undervalue mornings.
Mm. Yeah.
We get up and we get in the rush and we don't take the time to stop and just be mindful of who we are, why we're here, and how blessed we are.
I like it.
Yeah. Helps me a lot.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's been fun, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back again next week with another exciting episode of this podcast, whatever it's called.
This podcast.
That's the name of it, this podcast.
This podcast. See you soon.
See y'all.